We've been in this series on Psalm 1. It's a Like a Tree series. And we make a transition now. We spent 5 weeks. By the way, if you missed the Tuesday message, please go back and listen to this. Past Tuesday, we did something unusual. Just because of the schedule, we preached a Sunday sermon on Tuesday. We took communion, and we talked about the process of pruning. I'm not going to break that down, but go listen to it because it was very, very important. And now we're going to be shifting gears from below ground to above ground. Because a tree lives in two worlds at the same time. Every Christian lives in two worlds at the same time. There's your below ground life where Jesus is building you. Then there's your above ground life when you are building his church. How many want to build the church of Jesus Christ? Amen. So let's get right into it. Psalm 1, we've been reading this all along. Let's read it together one more time. Excuse me. I praise God too loud for service. But God's going to strengthen my voice right now. All right, here we go. Ready? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. Fulfill your word in our midst. How many would say amen? Make us like trees. Amen. How many want to be like a tree? God, make me like a tree. This is a powerful, beautiful illustration of the plan of God for your life. There are 3,000 different types of fruits that grow in some rainforest around the world. And that just goes to show the variety of trees that God raises up. Come on, everybody here, how many know you are God's special tree? Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. You're God's special tree. And as I mentioned, we've been talking, we've spent all of this time talking about your life below ground. And notice that I mentioned, when I read, it says, and on his law he meditates. Somebody say meditate.
Meditate.
You see, below ground is the realm of meditation. It's where, spiritually speaking, you're taking who Jesus is. You're attaching to Jesus below ground. The below ground life, as we've talked about, is your life with God that no one sees. That's just for you and Jesus. And we mentioned that the journey of blessing actually begins below ground. If you really want to be blessed, it all starts just you alone. You and Jesus is enough for blessing. Somebody say amen. That's where it's at. If you really want to be blessed, just know you have this invitation from the creator of the universe, who loves you, who died for you, who rose from the dead to release freedom, victory, and life, the abundant life. And all of that can happen just by you attaching to him in private.
Amen.
Now, but there's more to it than that. Then your life comes above ground. We call that the realm of service. You'll see why in a minute. And this is your life with God that everyone sees. When we're a Christian, right, everyone should be able to know that we're a Christian.
Amen.
Everybody should know. Like, it's, could you imagine, it's like, what kind of fruit is that? Is that an apple or a pear or a grape or a, you know? You know, I just got this Spanish. When I was a kid, we used to, in the neighborhood, they used to bring something called quenepas. Okay? It's like these little things that you crack open, and I got to look that up. You know? But whether you're a quenepa or an avocado, people should be able to tell the difference. Shouldn't they be able to tell that we belong to Jesus? Somebody say amen. Right? Now, here's the key, okay? And I'm going to tell you, this imagery requires meditation. Today's message requires a certain measure of deep thought, okay? Because in the above-ground world, listen to this, the journey of greatness is found through service. The kingdom of God is different from the kingdoms of this world. The priorities of the kingdom are different than the priorities of this world. What's important to this world is not important to the kingdom. So in our world, like in sports, every sport they say, this guy is the GOAT. And there's all of these debates. Who's the GOAT in basketball? I mean, everybody knows that Michael Jordan is the GOAT. But we're not going to get into that right now. LeBron who? I mean, that one slipped, Lord. Yeah, who's the GOAT? Who's the best quarterback or in soccer or whatever? There's the GOAT this, the GOAT that, the greatest, right, of all time. But see, there's going to be a special kind of mourning. There's going to be like an eternal sunrise when Jesus comes back for us. Amen. Once that sun rises, it will shine for all of eternity. We will be in his presence forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. The very glory of God will be our light. And on that day, there will only be one kind of greatness. And Jesus said it, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. On that day, there will be little ladies that nobody knows about, that clean churches, that will be healed as there goes the goat right there. On that day, there will be ushers and guys who, let me tell you something, if you serve in the parking ministry in Chicago, right? When it's like 10 below wind chill, and you're out there and you're smiling at the people when you're taking them, I'm telling you, we're going to be amazed at who the real goats are. I'm going to tell you right now. Please pay attention to this word because this has a lot to do with how you spend your life, your energy, your time. It's going to mean something on that day. What did you do with how God blessed you, how he equipped you. He equipped you because you are called to be a special kind of tree. Amen. For the glory of Jesus. And the greatest among you will be the servant of all. And so here's what the Bible says. Jesus said, look, it's not the person who puts themselves forward. It's the person who chooses to actually take the lower place. That's the greatest in my kingdom. You know, it's not the highest following. It's the person who walks in the room. One of the things you need to ask yourself, how often do you walk into a room and say, how can I serve these people? How can I serve? Anyone who is guided by the force of serving for Jesus will do great things for eternity's sake. The Bible says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. People who are disciples of Christ, people who are followers of Christ. You know what the Bible said about Jesus? It said the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served. He did not come to be served, even though he was the king. He did not come to be served. He came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And so this is a great challenge because as we talk about this, don't for a second think that God doesn't want to prosper you. Don't think he doesn't want you to enjoy life with your family. Don't think he doesn't want to bless you and give you a nice home or whatever those dynamics are. Don't think that God is like in the, oh, if you belong to Jesus, you have to be like, No, that's not the way this is. It says, whatever they do prospers. Right? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. God wants to make us fruitful and prosperous people. The more prosperous we are, the more we can give. So I'm not talking about not being blessed. What I'm talking is about having the heart of a servant. That's what the Bible is speaking to us. So it's a, you know, here's the way it goes. It goes from being healthy in private, you know, and being healthy in private has nothing to do with your public life. It just means that you're just good in God. You know, like I was, I mentioned this in the first service. It came to mind. We have a brother in our church. He graduated from Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is a drug program, so he fell into drugs. He went to the program, and I don't know, maybe he's been out about 2 years or so, maybe more. He's been out, you know. And I see him all the time. He's at our church. And it's so he's out. He's got a good job. He's doing great. He serves in the church. I'm not sure if he's dating a girl yet. Maybe next week I'll put his picture up and he doesn't have, let's say, the wife that he may want. He doesn't have the house that he may want. It hasn't completely unfolded for him yet. You know what I'm saying? But when you meet him, guess what? He's good. He's strong. He's healthy in God, you know, because he's connected to Jesus. He's good. You see, and it's not about what you have. Privately healthy means that you're good because you are attached to Jesus. You are connected to Jesus. And as God is bringing you along, it's not about the outward stuff. It's about the inward connection. You know? Like, think about it this way. It's like if you're a parent, you know, you just want to know your kids are good. You know? It's like if your kid could be rich, they could be this, they could be that, but if they're not good, you're not happy. You know, my youngest son, Tommy, lives in Dallas. He's got four kids, and I get to see him and the kids the least because they're away. I mean, we do the FaceTime thing. But we went there for Christmas, and when I went, you know, one of the happiest things for me is I was just looking at Tommy with his wife. You know, like my son loves his wife, and she loves him, right? And that's better than a super nice car or a super nice house. Because as a dad, I just want to know he's doing good. Do you know God just wants to get you good, just you and him? So no matter where you are healthy. And then once he gets you healthy, then guess what? He's going to make you fruitful. You see? Because when you're healthy, when you're attached, you know. So you can't give what you don't have, but when you are attached, you've got what you need to give. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the life with God that everyone sees. We are called to be like trees. Amen. And I'm going to pray in a moment, but I need to say one more thing about this that I want you to really think about. Right? The way to take this message in, I want you to think about this deeply as you pray for yourself, for the plan that God has for your life. So I have an image here, right? This is an actual grapevine, okay? It's pruned. We talked about pruning on Tuesdays. This is cut down So this is like right after it's been cut down. So this is why you don't, I could have put one with a bunch of grapes on it, but all of the grapes would cover up the structure, which is very, very important. If you're going to be like a tree, Jesus says, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches, then this imagery is something worth meditating on. So notice, a healthy vine is upright and open. Come on, everybody say upright. Open. If you're going to be like a tree, you're supposed to be upright and open. So now this is a real challenge in many cases to our Christianity, because there's a lot of versions of this. Now, so there's like four sides to this. Some people could be not upright, not open. We know that's not good, right? But some people could be upright, which means that they're really serving God, they're reading their Bible, they're praying, they're being responsible, they're upright, but their life is not really open. You see? It's like, I'm all about my family. I'm all about my blessings. I'm all about being right with God. And that's all it is. But if you're going to be a servant, notice you have to be upright. A vine is open, saying, here I am, come and take fruit freely from my life. You see, so it's not just that you're right with God. There's more to it than that. In American Christianity, when you talk about service, people think service is giving the spare change of your time to Jesus. That's not the greatest among you will be the servant of all. We're talking about a whole different level of understanding your calling and your connection to God. So look, you can be upright but not open, or you can be open but not upright. So maybe you're here and you're like, well, I build houses for Habitat for Humanity. I did the 5K run for, I wore the t-shirt, I ran for breast cancer. I do this, I do that. But when it comes to your spiritual walk with God, right, you're like, well, I'm going to do my thing. You see, it takes both. If you really want to honor Jesus, and if you really want to be ready to see him face to face, it's got to be, come on, say it with me, everyone, upright and open. It's both. It's your standing right before God, but then your life opens up and you're like, Lord, I want to be a servant. I want to offer your fruit freely to this world. That's the challenge of the day. And let me tell you something, that is the greatest life. If you want to live a great life, there it is. You see? And there is enough. There's enough for you to go on vacation and still be a servant. Amen. Well, if I serve, I can't have any fun. That's baloney. That's not the way it is. You see, God, he gives us a whole life, and he wants to use us in very holistic ways. Amen. So I want to pray now. If you're watching online, I want to pray that God would lead us into new levels of fruitfulness. That now, as we talk about your life with God, that everyone sees. How many want to be that tree that bears fruit that brings glory to Jesus? Kona, if that's you, just lift your hands with me right now. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. God, we thank you for your word, because your word is light and food. It's instruction. Lord, you want to steer us and guide us in the way that we should go. And so, Lord, now as we pray for our life with you, that everyone should see, God, would you make us like trees? Lord, 3,000 different types of fruit. Everyone here is unique. But would you make each and every one of us like a tree, bearing fruit, fruit that will last. I pray for eternal fruit. I pray for kingdom fruit, fruit that brings glory to Jesus. Because in the end, Lord, that's what counts. So God, would you orient our hearts in newer, deeper ways towards service? Would you make us like you, Jesus? You were a servant. Oh God, we want to be servants too. Bless this word, bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, as a pastor, I will often pray, God, deliver us from American Christianity. We want kingdom Christianity. Come on, somebody say amen. You know, there's something called a truffle. How many know what a truffle is? This special kind of expensive mushroom, right? So a truffle is very valuable. But the way they find truffles is they have to get these dogs or special animals to go sniff them out under the ground. How many know? Nobody is called to be a truffle. We're called to be like a tree that bears fruit for the whole world to see. Come on, somebody say amen. And I also want to say this. I want to say this. If you have little children, when you think about being upright and open, encourage your children to be friends with the kid in the class that is not popular. Tell your child, go out of your way to love on the kid that maybe is not socially cool. Be Jesus to them. Help them, you know, because when they get up, when they grow up, if you don't teach them now, then they're just going to want to be with their people. You know what the challenge of getting a mixed church like this is? Is a lot of people don't like to mix. A lot of people. I only want to be people in my educational class, in my status, in my world, people who understand my culture, you know? Like, you know, it's like, no, you gotta marry a girl that speaks Spanish. You know? But how many know the kingdom of God is open and wide? So this is a big deal, and we need to pass this down to our kids. And that's the way we teach them, and that's the way we show them, because we, like at our dinner table, we make room for a stranger. You know, because we want to serve everybody. So what I want to do now is I want to spend the next few moments talking about how trees are like servants and some of the key things that go, you know, how trees are like servants and how we are called to be just like trees. So, first of all, true servants, just like trees, they impact atmospheres. Everybody say atmospheres. We're called to impact the atmosphere, the vibe, the dynamic of a room. We're called to make an impact. Okay, how do trees impact atmospheres? I'm gonna say it to you, then I'll break it down just for a moment. So, trees serve, first of all, by absorbing pollution. That's the way trees impact the atmosphere. Trees also serve by providing food for fruit, fruit for food. In other words, where people are hungry, trees come along and say, here, have something to eat. That's what we are called to do. And then lastly, trees serve by giving up their lives, by sacrificing for our shelter, warmth, and protection. Let's unpack this. Let's start with absorbing pollution. So you guys know that trees are the longest standing servants in all of history. Even before Adam and Eve, there were trees. And ever since then, they've been there. And you know what trees do? Trees have this unique ability, so they absorb carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is poison to us. If without enough trees, this whole world would just, all of us would be gone. But you know what trees do? Trees absorb carbon dioxide, okay, and they release oxygen. Anybody here need oxygen? That's what trees do. You see, you and I are called to step into a room that is filled with poison. And as a child of God, aren't you grateful that Jesus comes to this world and he absorbs the sin of this world so that we could have life and freedom and blessing? You and I are called to do that tonight or tomorrow. We go into a room. Right? This is the age-old conquering of love conquers hate. Love conquers hate. Have you ever been in a room and people are like wound up? They're just wound up. But they're full of anger and full of hate. And then their one voice comes along and says something loving. And then all of a sudden, because love is released into the room, it changes the atmosphere. It just kind of turns the volume down. How many know what I'm talking about? Right? We're called to do that, even if it means that someone does something mean to you and you turn back and reply with love. How many know we're absorbing pollution? Right? We're absorbing pollution because we're called to serve. That's part of what turn the other cheek is all about in life. And it's a remarkable thing when we love people that hate us or dislike us. You know, it's interesting. When the whole COVID thing hit and everybody was angry at everybody, it was one of the remarkable things about that season is how many people told me how to pastor when I could see they were full of hate. I was like, it's crazy because you're not talking to me from the context of love. You're talking to me from the context of anger. But you want me to follow what you have to say. You know? How many know we are called to choose love? And love is the most excellent way. Come on, somebody say amen to that. We are called to absorb poison. And when you do that, it makes you so amazing. I was reminded this week as I was praying about this, my friend Jimmy, second kind of guy who really discipled me. He was a New York City police officer. He worked in lockup in New York, like in central booking of the in Manhattan. And so a lot of those high profile cases, they would go through there. And he was a Christian. He was like 20 something years old. He was a virgin. And they used to tease him so much. And the lady cops used to tease him and make fun of him, you know. But I'm telling you right now, whenever tough stuff went down, they were always pulling Jimmy aside. Hey, Jimmy, would you pray for me? You know why? Because Jesus, he would take the mocking and he would just love on them. You know, listen, Jeffrey Dahmer, you guys know Jeffrey Dahmer? Jeffrey Dahmer was arrested and it was there. And everybody in the office, they were all stirred up. Jimmy said that you could feel the evil. He was like locked up like rooms away, but it was like there was evil coming from there. Everybody was like, oh snap, do you feel that? And you know what Jimmy did? Jimmy went right in there. He said, look, watch me, but I'm going in there. I got to talk to this guy. And he shared the love of Jesus with Jeffrey Dahmer. Hallelujah. Because he knows no one is beyond the redemption of Jesus Christ. No one, no one, no one. Hallelujah. He died so that men could be saved. And I've got news for you. If you have a problem with that, it's because you don't understand how sinful you are. Anybody here glad that Jesus died for our sin? Though your sin be as scarlet. There's forgiveness that comes from the heart of God that nobody could understand. But thank God that there is an we can understand incomprehensible love and mercy. Because Jesus absorbed poison of sin. We're called to absorb poison too. Build your church through us. Amen. Amen. Secondly, trees serve by providing fruit for food. So trees, because of their connection, they just bear fruit. And it's crazy. The interesting thing to me about fruit is that fruit is portable. So God made fruit so that it could travel. You know, I asked, you know, where do bananas come from? You know, I think someone shouted, Mariano's. Okay. True. You know, avocados come from California. You know, God has made fruit so that it can be transported. So God wants to release something from your life that you have no idea where he wants to take that fruit and feed someone's life and nourish someone so that you'll find them in eternity. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. You can say something this week that can stop someone from taking their life. God can use your fruit. You see, that's why you got to read your Bible. That's why you got to be ready in season and out of season, because God wants to use your life to nourish somebody. Come on, how many believe that? How many know that is the call of God on all of his people? This is like it's just such a remarkable thing that you could do something. You know, I was sharing, we played golf the other day. I haven't played golf in over a year. And a year ago, even if I did play golf, I was a terrible golfer. My wife is way better than me in golf. So I don't like to say that because then she reminds me, but... But anyway, we played golf the other day, and we played with this guy named Eric. And he was a nice guy. I tried to witness to him. Like so many times, I kept asking the Lord. There was a moment where I was like, oh, this is the end. You know, and I kept trying, but I'm going to tell you, I think I have a theory. You know, if you are a lousy golfer, people just don't listen to you. So I just hit the ball so bad, I just felt like it just the game moved so fast that I said some things, but not everything. You know, and I've been praying for him. I've been praying for him that somebody, like, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody here now offers him, right, a piece of fruit, and we won't know it until we get to heaven. Amen. And then we'll be rejoicing because gave him a little here and a little there, and how many know together? How many know together we're supposed to feed the city of Chicago. Amen. With the light and love, right, with the strength of Jesus Christ, with the word of Jesus. We're called to feed the world around us. Fill yourself with the word of God. Pray, be ready in season and out of season, because we all have a role to play. Amen. As servants of the Most High God. Then they could send me a keyboard player. Last thing is trees serve by laying down their lives for our shelter, for our warmth, and our progress. Like, do you ever think about how wood is everywhere? I mean, wood is everywhere, you know. And we take for granted how wood is inside of the walls, you know, wood hole speakers and tabletops and like, but you know, in order for us to get wood, a tree had to get chopped down. These are pictures of some of the oldest standing homes. They're in Norway. These were built, obviously, by trees, and they're still standing, and people are protected, right? And people get to be healthy, and they have shelter. You know why? Because a tree was sacrificed. It's through sacrifice, the sacrifice of ourselves, that the kingdom of God is built. I have a question. Anybody here ever had a friend who just carried you? You know, who bent over backwards and just gave you time and energy and whatever when you were going through it. Could I say anybody here ever have a friend like that? How many are thankful for friends who sacrificed their time, who, by the way, more of you need to get friends, but like they give their lives. You know, I'm pretty sure it was in this past year, I was talking to a teacher who said, you know, we only get so much of a budget, and so I don't care. I buy my kids, I buy magic markers, and I buy crayons, and I buy the oak tag and the scissors, because even if the school doesn't provide it, I'm going to sacrifice so that these kids can do arts and crafts and all. How many are grateful for teachers who serve like that? How many would say amen? Unless somebody sacrifices, other people can't be served. You know? Like, I'm so grateful. My brother, he's on duty. You know, he's not looking at me, he's looking at you. Thank you, bro. Could we praise God for these two brothers serving today? How did you take in the sermon? Oh, nice. How did he take in? You know, we encourage you to worship one and serve one, but that's a different sermon. How many are grateful for this brother on the keyboard? Right? Guys in the parking ministry, tech ministry. You know, when we first started our church, we used to say, we don't say this a lot now, but we used to always say this. We used to say, we always put our first and best dollars towards our children. Like, we have the best kids' spaces that we could possibly have. We've always done it that way. When our church was just tiny, you know, we started, I remember we got our first $10,000 check. We were like, what do we do with this? Well, we took that $10,000 and we built this room for the nursery and for the children. We got the nice carpet with little engines or planes on them, and then we got nice cribs and we got toys, and somebody came and painted the walls. And I'll be honest with you, over the years, I've never had a child come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, I really want to thank you for our facilities. They are so superior. And we are so edified as children. Never once. Right? Never once had some kid say, thank you for having those people change our diapers. Are you thankful for those people? Could we put our hands together and thank God? Come on, come on, let's put our hands together and praise God for them. Hallelujah. We have people, they don't miss their assignment. Some people could go to church for 15 years and never serve one day. You see? Do you know that President Jimmy Carter, I just heard about this. He was a regular Sunday school teacher, and he would fly from different parts of, from wherever he was, he'd fly. He said, I got to go teach Sunday school. Eleanor Roosevelt, whose husband was the president, she was a teacher. She kept teaching. She said, no, I have to do this. This is important. You know why? Because service and sacrifice is important. And the thing is, your life is richer, better, happier. Amen. When you die to self and you put other people first. Amen. Let me tell you something. One of the most depressing things in life is the idolatry of self. The idol of self will destroy you. But when you give, when you serve, there's blessing released. And Jesus honors that and he blesses it. Developing the heart of a servant. By the way, I had this in my notes. I didn't say it last service, but I just looked down on my notes. Pastor Simba said this. I was a baby Christian when I heard this, I believe. But here's what he said. Listen closely. He said, inspiration without expression leads to depression. Come on, Yoda, whatever you do now, put that out. TikTok, there's like so many of them now, right? Inspiration without expression leads to depression. If you just come and you're fed and you're fed and you're fed and you never serve, you're going to be like, because you were called to be like a tree. Okay, here's the last thing and then we'll close with this. So this is sort of like trees, they not only impact atmospheres, but actually what trees do is trees or servants, they transfer energy. They transfer energy. So in the ecosystem, there's something very special that happens. And it all starts with the plant world. So the sun, through energy that the sun, light energy to plants, plants receive, trees receive, right? They're called producers, okay? So they receive 100% of that energy, you see? And then a primary consumer comes along, like a zebra. Let's say we're in Africa someplace. A zebra comes and eats off of the plants. And they get just 10% of that energy, right? And then somebody comes. You've seen those Wild Kingdom shows. Then the hyenas come and they eat the zebra. And they only get 1% of energy from that 10%. And then a lion comes and eats a hyena. He only gets 0.1%. Okay? But all of the ecosystem is held together because trees receive energy from the sun. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Okay? You and I are called to receive energy from the S-O-N, from the Son of the Most High God. And as we stretch out, we give off energy. Right? So let's go back. I don't know. Maybe Eric only got a 0.01. But what if he runs into him and then he gets a 1% and then runs into her and gets a 10%. And before you know it, Eric finds Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you realize that only you can carry the energy of the sun and transfer it to somebody else? You want to be the goat? Give away the life of the Son. The great call of God upon our lives is to receive from the Son. and then to give away for the Son. How many want to honor and glorify the Son with your life? Hallelujah, Jesus. The amazing thing about this, and I'll say this again in a sermon coming up, is like all we have to do is attach and surrender and say, here I am, God, use me. You don't know exactly how, but God knows how. He has a plan. So I want to end with this quote so that you could understand. Everybody here is called to the ministry. Every single one of us. A minister is a servant. A true servant is a minister. Look at what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels. Somebody say, that's me. Through loving channels to the glory of God. How many want to be that loving channel so that God could flow through you? That's the plan of God for each and every life. Everyone here is called to be like a tree. Each one of us. No one is exempt. When God created you, He created you to be just like a tree.